Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Spacer, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boys Lip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Palo de Borghesis.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Hebert Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, Bus People. Bus People are happy because it's not snowing and it's not 30 degrees.
That's true. Although we did get pretty close to it a couple of days ago, but
we did.
Yeah, we're back up into the 70s today, or I guess it was.
Yeah.
It's 70 now here in Tampa, so cool. Welcome to All About Wine. We do have a guest tonight, as I just posted on Twitter. If you have access to Twitter, you can go to twitter.com/allaboutwinebtr. I will be tweeting things during the show as fast as I can type, and we'll get the guest on in just a little bit, and we're covering Texas. Woohoo!
Yes, we are. As fast as you can tweet.
Yeah.
The opening is out of date a little bit there. The opening, you say, we've had over 40,000 guests. Actually, that number's up to 135,000 over the years now.
Yes, that did jump. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I see where you're going with this. Got to redo it.
Yeah, maybe time. Maybe.
Yeah. Probably by summer I'll have a 2014 version.
That's the
way it goes.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
thank you all for listening. That's really the bottom line there. We got all the great listeners out there, and so thank you for listening.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'll go get a guest and be right back.
All right, we got Texas. We've been talking about Texas. We've been August, September, we first contacted and we started to talk about Texas a little bit. And we were talking about Texas then and bringing Texas on and talking to Texas. And I'm sure it was, it was a number of months ago that we first started contacting them and we were trying to get Texas on. And we did. We had a guest on right at the beginning there. And then we had a dry spell. And then we had the Halloween month. floor. We talked about haunted wineries and all that. And then we went through the holiday season. Now we're back at Texas, the great state of Texas. And tonight we are starting our great state of Texas with Maydale Country Winery. Maydale Country Winery is located in, and I want to say Maydale, when I put on my Facebook page for Block Talk Radio, I want to say they were in Maydale Country Winery, was in Maydale, but they're not. They're actually in a town called Rusk, which is just a short distance down the road from Maydale, but close enough that it works and close enough that it's good. And so we are going to be talking to Maydale Country Winery. Cheryl and her husband, Stephen, are going to be joining us here shortly. Mike's trying to connect them now and trying to get them on the line. And we'll ask them our standard questions and everything like we do about wineries. So, and I keep talking, I keep waiting, and I don't know, he's either having a hard time getting a hold of them or something. I don't know, but they're not ready yet. Any suggestions, as always, with anyone out there for a topic for a program, let us know. We will be more than happy to entertain your suggestions. Looks like they are ready. Well, we got Cheryl in the green room.
Yep. No, ready to go.
All right. Hello, Cheryl. Welcome to the program, All About Wine. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well, sir. How's your day going?
Great. You know, I was off today and I had a chance to play golf. So it was a good day. And so thank you. So, and Steve's there with you, I understand.
Yes, sir. He's hiding around here in the corner.
Hello, Steve. Get out from the corner. Join us.
Hello, y'all.
Looking at your website here, I guess, Steve's the man as far as taking care of stuff around there, it looks like.
No, she's in charge of taking care of stuff. I just make wine.
There you go. All right. I like that.
That's
the better way to do it. Obviously, the better way to do it. Maydale Country Winery. Tell us about Maydale Country Winery. From the beginning, how did it start? And how did you guys get there? And what is – give me the backstory for you.
The backstory – my ex-wife asked me what I wanted for my birthday one time, and I said, a wine-making kit. They sell at that store in Tyler. Didn't even know the name. She found it. She bought me a wine-making kit, figured I'd do it one time, and never deal with it again.
I wound up
buying the wine-making store. When I couldn't make a living in Tyler, I moved it out to Maydale. I figured the internet was doing good enough I could make a living out in East Texas. As soon as the state made it legal for me to sell out of my tasting room, off I went.
All right.
And I ain't looked back since.
How long ago was that?
This is the longest job I've ever had in my life. We are going to celebrate our 10th year in May, somewhere around Mother's Day weekend.
Fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations. So 10 years ago you started. So you're looking at what, 03 that you opened?
04,
yeah. Well, yeah, this
04,
is...
04, we actually filed all the paperwork. We were the third one up in East Texas. There was one in Tyler, one in Pittsburgh, and then us. I went up to see the feller who processed the papers for the other two, and they looked at me and said, we're not doing wineries anymore. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know what the feds wanted them to do. They didn't know what the state wanted them to do. So I handed all the papers to Cheryl and said, we're putting in a winery. Here's your part. And she's as how many you filed papers for?
Three, four.
Four, three. She's done about four or five papers for other wineries since then.
And Cheryl, you're the go-to person then, it seems like, to get these wineries started in Texas.
Yes. Sir, I'm sorry, I apologize.
I'm just saying, you sound like the go-to person to get the wineries started in that part of Texas.
I don't mind being a consult. I'll offer my services to, well, within reason, to anybody. I enjoy it, believe it or not. Doing the paperwork, filling out the forms and stuff, I find it interesting. I'm always learning something new. It's, to me, it's fascinating.
And this is government paperwork, right?
Believe it or not, yes.
All right. When you get a chance, come down. I probably need help every month on that, too. So you
more than happy. Give me a call anytime. I have learned one very important thing, that anyone who says close enough for government work has never dealt with the ATF or the TABC.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean, yeah. And it's not just the TABC, but it's just like every state. Everybody's always has their issues, you know. So, well, I usually ask this at the end, but since I've got you on now and you're dealing with it, so how the government, Texas government, for wineries, good, bad, indifferent? Would you love them, want to kiss them, want to kill them, want to, you know, shoot them?
I definitely invite them over for dinner.
Would you?
I would. The TABC really works hard with the wineries. We're also connected with the Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
So that we have 75% of our produce in most of the wineries comes from Texas. That's how we were able to get the wineries, our winery started, is because when they changed the laws, it said that a winery in a dry county could function like a winery in a wet county. And up until that point, you could only sell wholesale if you were in a dry county, which we are. That's why we now have roughly 300 wineries in Texas. The paperwork, they do everything they can to make this as easy on us. They have offices all across for Texas. They have offices all over Texas. They've made it as simple as they can for you to get your paperwork, to figure out how to do it. The feds have even, the TTB, Tax and Trade Bureau, have even made the federal paperwork simple enough that within, if you can follow the train of thought, you can usually get it done in about 3-4 hours.
Wow.
So it's...
Well, I've done programs on the TTB, and, you know, I mean, a lot of the rules and regulations on there are almost overwhelming. So, you know, to understand their mindset is an accomplishment in itself.
Thank you. I like to learn. It's like anything. Once you do it a couple of times, you start seeing the patterns, and that's my part of the winery. Steve's the genius behind our product, behind our wines, but I feel like all I do is just the day-to-day stuff.
That's very important. I guarantee you that is very important. You mentioned that the so many wineries open up in Texas. Do they have to be farm wineries, or are they just location wineries, or how does that work?
Well, the way it works now is if you're in a dry county, as I was saying before, 75% of your produce has to come from Texas, either your grapes, your fruit, which is what we do, or whatever you use has to come from Texas. And that means you've got a lot of people who had little vineyards, who were home brewers that were playing with it, but now growing their own grapes and producing off of their own vineyards.
Mm.
If you're in a wet county in Texas or a wet area, you can get your juice brought in from anywhere. That's how you wind up with wineries that do things like prickly pear and hibiscus flower. that's Texas Star Winery out of Montgomery. The Chilean Chardonnays that people are able to bring California Merlots, the juice in, and ferment it here, and it's allowable as long as you're in a wet area. So
wow.
It makes a little bit of difference on location, location, location.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, how many dry counties are there in Texas? I mean, is this an issue, or is it just a few of them? Or
how many dry counties would you say?
Oh,
a third now?
You get out west, they get hard.
About a third of Texas, I want to say, is still dry.
Wow. Well, yeah, and that opens up a whole bunch of questions here. Is the legislature doing anything about this, or is it up to the state, or up to the each county board or commission?
Each city can each city can vote themselves wet, and that's been happening a lot here in the East Texas area. Cherokee County, which is where we are, is dry, but the little towns around us are wet, like the city of Rusk, which is technically just away from us, 7 miles from us, is wet. But it's really by the city. And the whole county can be wet, but then the city decides to stay dry.
Oh, my gosh.
It's odd. It's mass confusion sometimes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that sounds like a nightmare, trying to keep that stuff straight and all that.
Sometimes it can be. That's one of the first things I ask when somebody starts asking me that, you know, if I could help them. You know, where are you located? Is it going to be in a wet area or a dry area? And from there, it seems to go pretty well once you know what you're looking at. The feds don't mind. The feds don't care if you're wet or dry. They just want to know that you're in Texas.
And it's
when you start dealing with the state that you have to start paying attention to that.
Well, so you can have a wet county and dry cities, or a wet cities and dry county. I mean, it just, there's no rhyme or reason, just however they decide to do it.
It's really up to the local governments. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Tyler, Texas, which is about an hour away from us, just went wet, what, last year?
Yeah.
Just last year. Until then, all they could have inside city limits was private clubs.
Wow.
They were not allowed to have any other type of alcohol. And they had one little winery, one winery there. And since Tyler has gone wet, they closed their branch, the branch store, or winery rather, that was actually in Tyler, because they were selling against themselves, basically. They were selling to the stores and stuff then. So.
Tell us about our interview with TABC.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, he was saying, when we got started with this, the PABC agent we were dealing with had no idea what he was supposed to be doing. We learned real quick, 10 years ago, sometimes the correct answer for the TABC was, I don't know.
Yeah. It just, well, it sounds like it's almost to that point still. They don't know what, you know.
TABC has gotten much better. I admire these people. They really do try to stay on top of things. Wineries, from what I understand, are much easier to deal with than, say, liquor stores, package stores, you know, or grocery stores that are selling alcohol and stuff like that.
Huh. Well, because, yeah, winery is a winery.
A winery is a winery, and you're much less likely to have somebody underaged come in and want to buy wine at a winery than to go into a convenience store.
Oh, yeah. And convenience stores got everything else. These wet and dry counties, I mean, that includes all the stores and all the, you know, liquor stores and packy stores and, you know, the 7-Elevens and all that stuff then.
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
And just to make it a little more confusing, a city can be wet for alcohol, beer, wine, and hard liquor, or just beer and wine, or just for mixed drinks in the restaurant.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What is this? Is this repercussions from the prohibition era that still hasn't got itself cleared up?
Yes, sir. I strongly believe it does. I really believe it. We were the first winery in Cherokee County before or after prohibition, and the county didn't know what to do with us when we first came in. They sent it to the judge who called TABC and everything else, and it took us a week almost of the county just having our paperwork for them to figure out whether we were legal or not.
Oh my gosh. That's funny though. That is. That's funny. I didn't really, you know, that's Well, how about shipping laws then? Can you ship out of state? Can you ship to other Texas residents?
Oh, no. Now there's a monkey of a different color. Shipping, I can ship anywhere in Texas.
Okay.
I have a sheet that's printed up with every state in the United States on it, and as to what I can do and what I can't do, and the ones that you can't. There are about 5 different states that no matter what, you cannot ship to them.
Utah
is one of them. Utah, Oklahoma, South Dakota are 3 right off the top of my head that I can tell you for a fact you cannot ship to them.
New Hampshire?
I'd have to go back and look. New Hampshire, I think I can if I want to pay the money to get the permit what they refer to as a direct shipper's permit.
Right. A lot of states have that.
Alabama is that's one of those we have shipped to the stores, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Alabama and Mississippi, I believe, are ones that I have to ship to a store, the state-owned liquor store, in order to be able to sell to a customer. I can ship legally to Pennsylvania North Carolina, California. I'm missing one. Missouri and Texas. We're fixing to be able to ship to Louisiana and Florida in the next couple of months.
Cool. Pennsylvania surprised me because Pennsylvania is their state stores that run the and all that. And it surprises me that you can ship directly to Pennsylvania.
You can set it up 2 ways. I've got it set the way ours is set up. If you do buy it through the stores, and that way the state takes care of the taxes. If I'd wanted to, I could ship directly to them, and then every quarter I send the state their whatever the taxes were.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying with Pennsylvania, I decided that if I could take something off my plate, I would be more than happy to. So.
Yeah. We've talked to people from Pennsylvania and found out some of the laws up there. They're changing, but they're still a little antiquated. But yeah. Wow. That's a full-time job. Just wondering, you know, who you can ship to and who you can't ship to, and what state or what county is dry and what city in the county is dry or wet and all that. Yeah. If somebody lives in a dry county and dry city and they come in and they say, I want you to ship this to me, you can ship it to them then?
Yes, as long as they're in Texas, yes.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, that's, you know, that makes it a lot easier there than having to worry about what county or what city is dry or wet or whatever.
Exactly.
So, wow, that's good. more power to you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
That's a lot
I appreciate
work.
Any prayer I can get.
Yeah, I'll tell you. That's a lot. You mentioned Tyler. I have a cousin who lives in Tyler. They've lived there for years. They raised a family there, and they've lived there for years. And I emailed her, and I said, I'm doing Maydell Winery south of you. And she emailed me back and said, never heard of it.
I don't doubt it. You'd be amazed. I mean, like I said, we've been in business for 10 years now, and we still get people who come in every single day from within 15 miles of us going, I never knew this was here.
Yeah, we get that too. You know, I mean, we're just north of Tampa, which is a big city and a big tour thing. And
yeah.
we get tourists from out of state that know more about us because they look us up than we do people who are local, you know. So, yeah, I understand. So, yeah. Well, Stephen, it's your turn now. You still with us?
Okay, I'm going to hand him off.
Yeah, what are we talking about now?
He won't stop you.
Yeah, hello.
It's your turn now. So tell me, what do you grow?
What do I grow? Yeast.
Nah, don't get
I let somebody else do the production work for the fruit for me. I just grow yeast.
Well, that's the first time I've ever had that answer. Yeah.
I'm a yeast farmer.
You're a yeast farmer. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
my citrus comes up from the valley.
my blackberries come from Dewberry.
Wait a minute. You said the valley. This is, I'm talking to you from Florida. People from around the country listen to this program. We don't know the valley.
The Red River Valley.
Red River Valley, okay.
No, Rio Grande Valley.
Rio Grande.
Down there, I made two trips down to the Mexico border to get fruit one time and decided that I met a man named Jose Rivero at the farmer's market, and he can go to the valley for me, and I only have to go to Houston now.
There you go.
So
all right.
The citrus comes up from the valley to me. The blackberries I make come from Dewberry,
yeah,
which is right near the Louisiana border. The
oh,
elderberries come from wherever the heck I can find the darn things and harvest them. Peaches come from Freestone County, Fairfield, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And my pears come from Palestine, and any local yokel who wants to sell me their old pears off their tree.
You have enough pears doing it that way?
So far, I've been doing pretty good. Always do some more, but I don't know many people up here in Texas don't have one or two old pear trees sitting in the yard that they just fall on the ground. So they holler at me, I'll take them and make wine out of them.
There you go. So you make small batches anyway. Most of them are, you know, less than 200 gallons?
My biggest piece, I have a 300-gallon fermenting tank, but most of my stuff is done in 50-gallon stainless steel. That produces for me and the boy and the wife 20 cases at a time, and by the time you filter, sweeten, bottle, and hand cork 20 cases of wine, that's a day's work, sir.
I know it.
You
want to
take one off before you start doing the next 20.
Yeah, this is what we do. Everything's done by hand, and we do small batches like that ourselves. So I can understand and sympathize with your dilemmas on those at times there.
Lemons we have to quarter. We run them through our grape crusher, just like they were great big grapes.
Wow.
We then take them and put them in the press, just like they were grapes, and squeeze a pudding out of them. Then make wine out of the juice and feed the goat the fruit.
The goat? One goat eats all of them?
I have one goat. The goat. And it eats the limes. It won't mess with the grapefruits or the lemons, but it will eat the limes for some reason. It likes limes.
That's funny.
It amazes the heck out of people. They'll come up the winery and they'll walk up my little ramp, and there's this goat standing on the front porch looking at them. They've already done met the dog, but the goat kind of scares pudding out of them on occasion.
Yeah,
dog that big to look at you. She thinks she's a dog too. That's all she knows.
Yeah, and then all she likes is the lemons or the limes.
The limes. She only eats the limes. She'll leave the lemon husk for something else to eat, but she eats limes.
I don't know. No, I guess if you're a goat, you can be picky if you want.
If you're a goat, you understand goat. I don't understand goat yet.
I don't understand goat either. I don't think other goats understand goats either. But
I don't think
you,
goats. I don't even think my goat speaks goat. I think it talks to my dog more.
Well, you need to get another goat around there, that's all. Yeah.
Well, that's what I need, more goats. No, thank you, sir. I got one goat, that's enough.
That's funny. You ever, I noticed on your website you say you do scuppernongs, muscadine, blanc de voie, and some of those all
when
local?
When I could find enough scuppernongs, I did it. When I could find enough blanc, I did it. But I hate to say my webpage is probably right at 10 years old, and I have wound up having to go mostly fruit.
Yeah,
occasionally, I can put together, 20 cases or so of grape. We got a joke. We call that an AEG, another effing grape. It's not made out of something interesting like fruit. It's just another effing grape.
Yeah. obviously you're you like your fruit wine. So tell us.
I'm prejudiced about my fruit wine. I'll be slap honest about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like one. And there's no reason not to be. I mean, you know, tell us about your fruit wines. Each one of them, are they sweet? They all made in the sweet dry? Taste like the fruits? Or
who the heck would want dry fruit?
Exactly. You know, I mean, you
got all my wines tend to be on the fruit side. Sweet side. I make a lemon that tastes a heck of a lot like lemonade. I got a lime that tastes amazingly like a margarita. I want my blackberry to taste like blackberries. I want my peaches to taste like peaches.
To me,
when I make wine, the alcohol is not as important as the fact it tastes like the fruit.
I'm just going to ask, what's your alcohol level usually run on these then?
I usually run around 10, because if I get much above that, then you start not tasting the fruit, you start feeling the alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. But 10's
so
still 10, pretty 10 high.
And a half, somewhere in there is where I like to stay.
That's still pretty high. I was expecting you to say around 8 or 9.
Oh, no. Heck no.
Yeah. That's getting on up there.
When I push it above 12, it starts just seriously messing with my flavor. So I've learned over the years 10 is about the number I want to shoot for.
Yeah, well, that's a good level there. That's not too much, but yet it's, you know, it's still in the wine range there.
If it ain't enough for you, drink another bottle. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that would work too. Yeah. Your Ruse Roux. Where'd you get the names on your
Ruse Roux? Ruse Roux is my daughter's nickname.
Uh huh.
And so it's Roore, Ruse Red. It is a Merlot. I have to get my grapes out of my juice out of California.
Uh-huh.
But we keep it sweet. We do not oak it. It tastes like the juice does if you stick your finger in it when they deliver the barrels to me.
Uh-huh.
And I try to keep it right at about that 10, 10 and a half, 11%.
Wow. It sounds interesting. And then Gavin's Blush is just your white skin.
Gavin's Blush is the granddaughter.
Ah.
And so hers is white Zin that I do up. Usually I try to make my white Zin by mixing a bit of Niagara or Blanc de Bois in it.
Oh, okay.
Ferment out the Zin and make it white by adding either one of them two white grapes to it.
Oh, there you go. All right. Nick, Zin comes from California also?
Yeah. I live on an iron ore mountain with an inch and a half of topsoil. And it's on such a grade that God washes away my inch and a half every time it rains. So I haven't got anything worth growing. I can grow okra. I can make some excellent darn okra.
Oh, yeah?
Because the roots of okra don't go down, they go out. But I have yet to perfect an okra wine and don't think there's a market for it.
But
I can grow okra. That's about it.
I'm sure you've tried too, huh?
No, I hadn't tried. I've gave that up before I ever started.
You haven't
tried an okra wine? No, I decided it was just silly.
Oh, well, you know, hey, I've talked to wineries around this country, and you'd be surprised at the wines that people make. I mean, there's no reason why not trying an okra wine.
Okay. We went to a meeting in Austin, Dallas. And they wanted us to describe our wines, write a mission statement, and all this other good stuff. And my policy then became, if I ain't going to drink it, I ain't going to make it, and I'm not going to drink okra.
So I ain't going to waste my okra. Well, I was just going to think about
on my side. Yeah.
I was thinking about bragging to people about, hey, I talked to a winery in Texas, and I said, I suggest they make an okra wine, and they did, and, you know, but now if you're not going to do it, then...
I'm not going to do it. No, thank you.
Well, all right. Yeah.
We're in a really weird position.
my parents bought this piece of land back in 72.
Uh-huh.
We are buffered on three sides by a state forest.
Mm.
Matter of fact, there's a little banner up at the, as you're going up the hill past the winery that says, "Beyond here be banjo players." You don't need to go any farther up this logging road than my building because they maintain that road anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I charge $500 fire up tractor and pull you out of a ditch. But I'll loan you the phone and you can call a wrecker for $300.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Well, if you're down there in that area there and you've got these forests on all the sides, it seems like you would be able to grow something besides okra, though. I mean, is it just nothing?
Not on my horrible land. I'm serious. There is literally about 2 inches of topsoil, and the rest of it is iron ore rock and red clay. And
yeah,
as big as my operation is, I've either got enough time and energy to grow fruit or grow yeast, and I opted to grow the
yeast.
I can do it inside in an air-conditioned and a heat building, and it don't rain on me in there, and it's wonderful.
And it doesn't snow, and it doesn't get cold.
It doesn't snow.
You know,
it's the best agriculture I could think of.
There you go. Okay, I like that. I like your reasoning and your theory. I really do. That is great. So your fruit wines, you use stainless steel. You say, 50-gallon stainless steel tanks.
You start out in plastic. It stays in plastic for about a week. Then it all gets transferred into stainless steel. It sits there for another 3. I can usually turn a batch of fruit wine in about 6 weeks.
Oh.
That's from start to, I'm not interested in aging and getting, the leathers and all the subtle flavors that come with grape wines. I want lemon to taste like lemon. I want lime to taste like lime. I don't want any subtle flavors in there.
Well, that,
I don't
want
peach with overtones of strawberry. If I do, I'll mix peach and strawberry together, okay?
I like that. That's very honest, and that's great.
It's a simple one thing wine. You don't get overtones of nothing.
Yeah,
it is, and that's what it should taste like. And if it doesn't, I did something wrong.
your honey, you do a mead also?
I have for a few years. Then it got amazingly hard to find honey after about 2011 when the drought came through.
Well, also
meanwhile,
the
locals around, I could have got some from somewhere else, but as soon as we got the drought, then the Chinese who was importing gobs of honey, I learned that we really didn't want to use their honey. So
yeah.
I've been kind of not making mead until the bee business comes back up in East Texas.
Oh, you had that colony
collapse. I'm kind of at the mercy of my bee raisers, yeah.
Yeah, and so a lot of colonies were lost because of that, too. So
it was horrible out here.
Yeah, well, here in Florida we had an issue, too, so that didn't.
When the bee business comes back up, then I'll go back to making mead, but I hadn't made mead since 11.
Uh-huh.
It was last year that I was able to put my hands on honey.
Well,
although my wife goes every Saturday to the farmer's market in Nacogdoches, and she's been talking to them, they're getting their hive back, so I might have produced some mead into this year. I'm looking forward to it because I like playing with the stuff.
And your mulled wine, what are you doing on that?
Oh, I take my peach. I put cloves, anise, cinnamon, allspice, orange peeling, lemon peeling, and I steep it in there right before I filter it. So when it goes through the filter, it takes all the little pieces out.
sweeten it up. You take the stuff and you set it on a stove and you get it warm. The magic number is 166. That's where you start distilling. Keep it below that. And it's just Christmas in a bottle.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
I noticed and you put
I'm
everything
making,
in
I'm,
except. I'm just saying, you
not
look like you
sink.
Put everything in there except lime, and you know, but you know, obviously that's because the goat eats it, so you can't.
Yeah, the peach is the flavor that I usually spice up that way.
Uh-huh. That sounds interesting. It, you know, and you have it available now. You said between Thanksgiving and Valentine's, so.
Yeah. I usually roll that stuff out around Halloween, and if there's any left over, it goes back in the warehouse on Valentine's Day and sets till next year.
Really? You don't
and
do that?
And it's just as good as it turned age the year if it was the time you poured it out of the bottle, you know, November 1st.
Wow. Well, so that's it. Valentine's Day is the end of it for the year. Huh?
Yeah, that's it. It's darn too hot now after that for anybody who wants to drink a heated wine. And the stuff, in my opinion, is vulgar if it's cold.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be warm. And when you get past Valentine's Day in East Texas, it's not cold enough for you to want to drink anything that hot.
Yeah. So you mentioned what's the weather like there? I mean, right now and you know, throughout the
right
year.
Right now, hold on, let's look at the thermometer. It's raining. We just went through 2 days of teens. It's 57 outside. We don't know what to do with teens around here. I mean, 16, 17. I mean, Minnesota might know what to do with 16 or 17, but us dumb boys in East Texas, we just go huddle and hide.
And just, you know, bundle up and eat your mulled, or drink your mulled wine, your winter peach.
Drink the mulled wine. That's about all you can do. Try to make yourself warm on the outside and the inside.
Yeah, I know. We're here in Florida, and we just got to getting down to almost freezing. And it pretty much, you know, we had to get out our parkas and long johns and all that stuff. So I understand.
I got up this morning. It was right at 60. I put on my sandals. I put on my short pants. I was in my shorts. I'm ready to deal with the summer's day. I wound up with my T-shirt, hockey jersey, insulated vest, coat on top of it, my Russian hat that I had with the ear flaps, and two pairs of pants before the day was over, and my boots.
I can picture that. I really can.
I'm sick of wearing boots. I'm ready for some warm around here.
Yeah, I know. And it's only January the 9th, though, so hey. Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, by March, end of March, it'll be hot again, and we'll be saying, what happened to winter?
Yeah, I know. We get that in about the middle of February, it seems. What type of corks are do you use? Are you using screw caps, or what's your?
No, I figure as long as there is some country boy out here killing butchering pine trees to make pulp wood, I need to spend my money for the poor country boys in Portugal who are spending their time pulling corks out of oak trees.
There you go.
I can go screw tops, but there's no romance to a screw top.
Nope, there isn't.
When you take the bottle and you drive the cork down in it, and when you buy it and you pull the cork out of it, that's different than just, you know, unscrewing a cap and throwing it away. Might as well bottle Coca-Cola if I'm going to do that route.
Yeah. are you in an AVA, American Viticulture area there in East Texas?
Oh, they don't even know what to do with them. AVAs. We just got our there's one in the hill country down Austin Way, and they're working on one up here for the Blanc du Bois grape.
Oh.
But you know, this is not California. They don't know what to do with AVAs down here.
Yeah,
matter of fact,
you had
to tell me what it was before I remembered what it was.
Yeah, most people don't know anyway. So it's just, you know, I mean, It makes me sound important if I ask that.
I done forgot what AVA was because it's nothing that has anything to do with fruit. Although the wife had an interesting run-in over our blackberry.
Oh, yeah?
Because, they told us that it had to say Texas blackberry on the label. So she did. Then they informed her that Texas was not an AVA for blackberries. And she said, well, close enough for government work means you do it their way. Yeah. So now the bottle has to say Texas blackberry wine, Texas blackberry wine, in two different places to make them happy. And let me let you talk to her a minute. I got to run down the hallway.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen.
Unfortunately, you have to deal with me again.
Yeah. Well, no, not unfortunately. My question is, you deal with that all the time.
With label approval, yes, sir. You have to get state and federal label approval for any label that you put on a bottle. Not each
state?
Individual, but like for each. Yes, sir. State and federal.
Well, I know the feds require label approval, but you have to get state approval also?
Yes, sir. And for any state that I sell to a distributor, I also have to get their state approval on my labels.
Oh, wow. I never realized. As long as you're selling to the distributor. Stephen mentioned something that I never heard of before. There is an AVA for blackberries?
No, sir. What happened was when we first started, I had a two-piece label, and it said East Texas Blackberry, and the TTB gave me approval on that one. We changed over to a one-piece label. I put the East Texas Blackberry on there again. And the lady called me up, and she says, you can't call it East Texas Blackberry because East Texas is not an accepted AVA. And I let my mouth overrun my brain, and I said, woman, we're talking blackberries, not grapes. We went a couple of rounds, and she said, do you want the label? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
So that is why our blackberry label is redundant, because I didn't know when to shut up.
I see. Okay. So it's really not laws, it's just you being stubborn. Okay.
That one was. On our label for a fruit wine, whereas a grape can say such and such table wine, and that covers anything from 7 to 14% of alcohol on a grape. With fruit wines, you have to put specifically to a percentage, to a tenth of a percent, what the exact alcohol content is on the the label.
A tenth of a percent?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Is that the TTB or is that the Texas?
That's TTB.
Is it really? I never realized that.
Yes, sir. They, even though, by my understanding, grapes are fruits. Fruits are not grapes. so they do treat them differently.
So, wow. So if it's a fruit wine, then it has to be within a tenth of a percent of the alcohol on the label?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Like some of our labels may say 10.3% alcohol. You never know what it's going to wind up with.
Well, so you're getting new labels every time you make a new batch.
No, they are. Both the state and feds do cut us a little bit of slack. We've got a 2% leeway with the feds. And I think it's, 1%? It's a 0.5% with the state. So that's another reason why we try to keep it real close to the same alcohol content every run. And why we shoot for that, usually 10 to 11%.
I know the feds has a 2% leeway on that, but the state is tighter on that then, too. Is that just the fruit wine, or is that all wine?
I'm not sure. With the grapes, you can get away with it just saying a table wine. So
they're not quite as picky. I think it's predominantly the fruit wines and also your specialty wines, like a port, your dessert wines, things where you're going to have a different alcohol content than from 7 to 14%.
Oh, wow. Do you order the corks? Are you the one that gets the corks in?
Yes, sir, I am.
Who, if I may ask, do you use?
No problem. Amarum Cork from California, Napa Valley, I believe it is.
Yeah, that's who I use.
I love them.
I was just curious.
They are wonderful people. I whenever I need something, I shoot her an email. I've got them within just a couple of weeks. They're very friendly. They're wonderful people, and anytime I have a question about something, I get an answer almost immediately.
Yeah, they're very good. I've used them for quite some time too, and all that. What kind do you use? Do you use an actual whole cork, or you use amalgamated, or do you use?
We use the amalgamated.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We do too. I was curious about this. What you were using on it? Yeah, Amron's a good company. I teach a class a couple times a month on average, just Wine 101, and I contacted Amron and I said, can you get me something that I can show the class? And they sent me a piece of the cork oak tree, the bark of the cork oak with the corks that were pressed in it. Really pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty cool visual aid. But they're very good people. I like Amron. Trail, you all are part of a wine trail there, aren't you?
We are part of the Piney Woods Wine Trail. I want to say it's the second largest in the state of Texas. There are 20 of us on it now. There's almost either is or almost 20 of us on it now. We run from us being the farthest southeast in Maydale, or technically they classify us as Rusk, but and then we go all the way up to Texarkana.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So a pretty big area then.
It is. Kelly Luxby, who does our Piney Woods, the web – hang on, I've lost every word. Wine Trail web page, and I say that one three times fast. she broke it up into paths so that people, instead of being overwhelmed by, oh, my God, there's just too many to try and get to, she broke it so that you can, here's a day trip, and group us accordingly. And it does make it a lot easier to get around.
Oh, very good. Next thing I want to do here, and we're doing this because we are part of AFRN, Armed Forces Radio Network, and they're limited on their time. So I want you to, and we're not done, but I want you to give me the name, phone number, website, email, all the information about Maydale Wine. So if anyone out there wants to get a hold of you, then they can do so. So I'm going to let you get that information. And again, we're not done, but, they are limited on time. So I'm going to get that in before we lose the time on them.
Yes, sir. They can contact me, Cheryl Ivy Harper, at Maydale Country Wines. Our address is 175 County Road 2108 in Rusk, Texas, R-U-S-K, 75785. Our phone number is 903-795-3915. Our webpage is www.maydalewines.com, and that's a D, not a B. Our Facebook page is... Maydale Country Wines, facebook.com/Maydale Country Wines. And my email address is sister@MaydaleWines.com.
There you go.
And Maydale is spelled, spelled Maydale, M-A-Y-D-E-L-L-E.
Not Maybell, but Maydale. Okay, there you go.
Maydale,
all
yes,
right,
sir.
Thank you. Like I say, I want to get that out to the AFRN. Thanks, AFRN, for being part of our network here. The train, notice there's a train theme behind a lot of this stuff. What, how does that work in with your wine there?
The train is an integral part of our whole existence out there. We are in the original Maydell Depot. It was moved out to the property in the 1950s. It was built in 1910 when the train, which is the Texas State Railroad, ran prisoners from Rusk, which used to be Rusk, Texas State. You see the prison in Rusk, which is now the psychiatric hospital. But they would run the prisoners from Rusk to the steel mills in Palestine.
Oh,
and
wow.
At the end of the day, they'd run the steel and the prisoners back to Rusk. Those tracks actually cut through our backyard.
Oh.
So, yes, and the train rattles our windows every time it comes by. We absolutely love it. It's astounding to hear the old steam engine just.
Well, if it's running through, why? Why is the train going back and forth?
It's a the Texas State Railroad now runs it as a tourist train. It's owned by, I hope I'm getting this right, I want to say it's Ohio State Railway owns it now. And they run it from both Rusk and Palestine, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. It makes a full round trip from both Rusk and Palestine. Then they also do things like the Polar Express runs, the Great Pumpkin runs. And the plan is, from what I've been told, that they're going to connect to the Union Pacific line in Palestine and start running freight again during the week from Palestine to Rusk so that they can save some on shipping. So people have an alternate shipping form.
Oh.
So.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at your website, as I do every time I talk to someone. And local interest, Texas State Railroad. I click on that, and the page that pops up is all German.
Holy cow. I will definitely have to look at that. I'll be honest, I haven't seen it. Oh,
yeah,
I haven't seen it lately.
The German. You know, I took German in high school. That's German. I mean, it could be Swedish even or German, but it looks like German. But yeah, the whole page on it says Texas State Railroad. It has that in English, but then everything else on the page is in German.
Holy
or
cow!
Whatever language
I will look
into
that first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
The Texas State Railroad page is in German.
I don't know, but it might be something you check out.
I definitely. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just. Well, I'm
kind
I'm
of an embarrassing
off.
Way to find out about it, but thank you.
Yeah, I know. We never look at our own websites anyway. I know it. You know, that's not a new one. Yeah. Well, let me see. Palestine, Texas. Is that in German? No, that's English. Okay. Yeah, that's English. Mike, do you have any questions?
Let me save you a little embarrassment. That's Palestine, not Palestine. Palestine's that country overseas.
Yeah.
Palestine.
Okay. All right. You know, I'm learning a lot about this stuff. The capital of North Dakota, I've always said it was Pierre. And most people pronounce it. And we talked to some wineries in North Dakota, and they said it's not Pierre, it's Pierre.
Pierre?
And
oh, wow.
Pierre. It's pronounced Pierre, not Pierre. It's Pierre. And
oh, that's
I go, oh. So, yeah, I never knew that. So, you know. But, yeah. Mike, have any questions for Cheryl or Stephen?
That place up in Louisiana, you mentioned Nacogdoches in Texas. If you go to the – I think it's spelled similarly in
Louisiana.
Nacogdoches. Yeah, try asking for directions to Nacogdoches. They don't know what you're talking about. But you say Nacogdoches. Oh, yeah, I know where that's at. But it doesn't look like that. I don't, other than, I noticed the Texas State Railroad 2 thing. That was kind of cool. Are they in Fredericksburg? Isn't Fredericksburg, that's a German town, isn't it? I wonder if they're, I don't know.
No, the Texas State Railroad is, like I said, the park is still listed as Texas State Railroad, but they are right there out of Rusk. Ohio is definitely, to my knowledge, they haven't moved it anywhere else.
To Germany?
I just wonder. Yeah. I wonder why that's, you know, wonder why that's in German. That's funny. That's
that is
even
odd,
the menus. Well, news. Let's see if the news links. Those are that's interesting. No, I don't. I really don't have any questions. You covered pretty much everything. You covered the soil, weather out there is. Are your summers pretty pretty bad up there? I mean, you know, you said that was in the teens not too long ago, but do you get up into the hundreds up there?
Yes, sir, we do. Average ambient temperature here in, let's say, August is, what, 103?
Oh, my God.
Easy, with anywhere from a 93 to a 98% humidity.
Ooh!
Stay here.
Yeah, people that snowbird here and then come in for the summer, they leave immediately.
And no, Stephen does his growing in air conditioned.
Yeah. No, that's it. Everything's very, very interesting. It was very, very enjoyable. And
funny.
Well, we've had Well, we have definitely enjoyed y'all's conversation. Thank y'all for having
anything
us.
Anything you want to add at the end here, Cheryl? Or Stephen, if you're still listening in the background.
Oh, just if you happen to be in the neighborhood, brave the dirt road and come out and see us and watch for the goat.
goat, singular goat.
Goat. Yeah.
Are you open year? Are you open? Are you open year round? Are you open?
Yes, sir.
7 days
we're
a week,
open
year round.
Six days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 4 during the week, and 10 to 6 on Saturdays. And I'll meet you at any time if I know ahead of time you're coming.
Is that Sunday closed because of county laws, or is that just your decision?
Because I demand a day off.
Ah. There you go. Good a reason as any. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, very cool. All right, so keep that in mind, people, if you're traveling, and I'm trying to find the map. You're off of, is it near U.S. 84?
We're just off of Highway 80. Yeah, you're off of U.S. 84.
Yeah.
We actually have... the Blue Highway Department signs out now. We're less than a quarter mile, 250 feet, I think it is. 650 feet off of Highway 84. It's not very first building you come onto on our dirt road.
And you're actually in Maydale, not in Rusk.
We're 2 miles out of Maydale. We're 7 miles out of Rusk.
Okay, gotcha. Ah, cool. All right. Very good. Great interview. I really appreciate that. Great talk.
Yeah,
good discussion.
It's been fun. Any other comments at the end here, Cheryl or Stephen? Any comments or anything you'd like to pass on to us or to our listeners?
I'd like to brag on my husband real quick.
Sure.
He has said I want to get bigger. I want to be known. This year we will be actually selling to a distributor who will have us in New Orleans, Louisiana, and Pensacola, Florida.
Fantastic.
By summer. Yes, sir.
Well, so great. Now, you are – I had a person that I interviewed from Kentucky who came in to the winery down here and visited me at the winery, and he said he is now famous in Kentucky because he was on my program. So, hey.
Oh, wow.
Are, yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah. Well,
3 months ago, we talked to Vance from Amarim. You were talking about Amarim Corks,
right?
Mm-hmm. Corks. Yeah, he was on September last year. So and now they're famous too. So there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, we made them famous.
All ties in there. All ties in. So, great. I appreciate you taking your time out this evening from your hectic duties and everything that you all do and spend some time with us. It's been greatly appreciated. Great interview, a lot of fun, interesting about Maydale Winery. If I'm ever down to visit my cousin in Tyler, Texas, I will definitely make the hour trip south and visit you guys.
Please do. We look forward to it. And thank you all again for having us. It's been a pleasure.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Bye now.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. This is our imitation studio audience. great time. That was funny.
That was fun.
Oh,
that,
wow.
That
okay.
was a fun
yeah,
interview.
Very,
yeah. Yeah.
Yep, very cool.
Yeah.
Good. We had to say goodbye to the Armed Forces Radio Network people, so Got that. That was good. Let's see. What else? Do you have any anything to add at the end or anything for
the
show coming up?
I'm going to try to get hold of more Texas here. Obviously, from what they said, over 300 wineries in Texas. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guarantee we will not be spending all of 2014 in Texas, but
no.
We probably could with over 300 wineries.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so. We'll see how they respond. Very cool. All right, so next week we should be on Texas again. So it's another one of those probably multi-show states if we can keep it going. So anybody listening from Texas as a listener, if you're not in the wine business, contact your favorite winery and say, hey, you need to get on the program, and just like Cheryl and Steve did. And, we can find out more about their winery and showcase them for a program. So do that and have them get in touch with us here at All About Wine. And the email address is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. So you want to, great deal. Hmm?
Oh, our calling number two, 646 is New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
so,
New Jersey.
Jersey.
I
discovered that.
New York from out of that.
I discovered that the other day. I don't know, somehow, but New Jersey. We do have a festival this Saturday, and we also have a class Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I had that email somewhere around here. Let me see where. Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah, January 11th. That's right. So hold on a second, and I don't want to let that to go by. So let's do try
coming
this
up this Saturday at Florida State's Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Right. So
very good.
I thought it was over. Come out this Saturday. That's January 11th, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. Sam Osborne is going to be providing live entertainment. Come out and relax, enjoy a glass of wine, and enjoy the day. There's going to be plenty of vendors, and quite a few that we've discussed in the back shows. Don with a lot of wood handcrafted items, Boxer and Christie, Pat under Pratt's umbrella. Susan, custom designed, hand crocheted doggy sweaters and more. Susie's going to be back again with grilled or boiled hot dogs and sausage. Oh, wait a second. I got to write that down. Grilled or boiled hot dogs. Okay. What else? Mary Kay, also with, Trina will be there, and, just a whole lot of fun and a great time to go shopping. So we'll come out and enjoy Saturday at the winery at Winefest, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. And then Sunday, you have a wine class that is 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. It is 3 hours, and it is a great class. And you come away there knowing quite a bit more than you thought was out there available. Listening to the show, yeah, okay, but it's all in the wine class. It's fantastic, and you learn all kinds of cool things, and you really it's a treat. It's fantastic. You get a brief history of wines, wine grape varietals, wine grape diseases, wine glass styles and uses, cork history, evolution and uses, oak aging, wine tasting and rating of wines, and, of course, the sampling of wines and a discussion, and it's located at the Florida State's Winery Tasting Room. Please be sure to RSVP. Let them know you're going to be there. by dialing 1-3-996-2113 and let them know, RSVP, get on the list, and that'll be wine class this Sunday from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. So get out there and do it. It's a great time. It's a good discussion. Good presenting and everything. Okay. We will be back next Thursday. That would be January 16th. I'll make sure I'm still on here. Yeah, I guess so. I have to check every once in a while. You never know. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, you're way back in the background or something happened.
There I go. I'm back.
Okay. Hey, that's fine. I didn't know.
I moved my microphone out of my face so I can drink some wine, and I didn't move it back. That's all.
Don't let me interrupt that.
Exactly.
January 16th, next Thursday, we'll be back at 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio on All About Wine. Don't forget, you can also listen to us on the Armed Forces Radio Network, and we are a free download on iTunes. So we also have an iTunes page, whatever. They show all the episodes on there, and you can download it from there for free onto your whatever it is, Apple products, or just as a MP3 like I do, or you can get them from Blog Talk Radio. So thank you for tuning in, and we will see you all next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks a lot. Have a good rest of the week. And
yep, thank
wine.
You all very much.
No. Thank you. All right, good.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.